I am here in Athens, Greece, the center of Athens, with the Oracle of Athens, Alexander Mercurius. Alexander, let's talk about what's going on in Ukraine. Let's talk about what everyone else is talking about, which is what happened in Crimea. The narratives are missile strike, sabotage, accident. Those are the three narratives, generally speaking. It happened at this Saki Air Base. I believe that is what the airfield is called. We're getting reports of around three planes damaged. I'm getting reports that the runway's okay. I don't know. No one has really confirmed this 100%, but these are some of the satellite imagery that we're getting. One death, around 10 injured. And it is in the town, a tourist town, a beach town, beach area known as Novofedorovka. That is the scenario as to what is going on in Crimea. And obviously, you know who is saying it was an accident. That's the Russian Ministry of Defense. And who is saying, or the Ukraine Ministry of Defense has not come out with an official statement, but they're hinting that this might have been either a missile strike, maybe HIMARS, or a sabotage. What is your take on this?
Right, well, of course, I don't absolutely know. I mean, I'm not there on the site itself, so it's just a case of inferring what we have from the pictures that have been taken. Now, it seems most likely, almost certain, that it was not a missile strike. People who've analysed the photos say this isn't consistent with a missile strike. The people who were there in the area, these are people, vacationers, people who were nearby, lots of pictures of the explosion. Nobody has reported seeing any kind of missiles striking this facility. And apparently the damage is not consistent with what you would expect from a missile strike. Also, it seems unlikely that Ukraine has missiles that can reach this far. It's 200 kilometers from the front lines, so it's unlikely that they have missiles that have that kind of range. So I think we can, with reasonable confidence, rule out a missile strike. Now, that leaves two possibilities. One is sabotage, and the other is accident. Now, in terms of sabotage, it's possible, but I would say that this is an important airbase. It's a very important airbase in Crimea. It's the sort of place that you would expect to be extremely well guarded. There would presumably be, troops and closed circuit TV and all sorts of regulations and things like that about access to a place like this. And while one can't exclude, the possibility of sabotage or something like that, I have to say, on balance, I think that's unlikely as well. Either the most likely explanation is that this was an accident. Accidents like this happen. They're not by any means as uncommon as some people say on air bases. I have to say the Russian Air Force has a particular, a pattern of having accidents like this. There were some in Syria, for example. So I think this is probably what happened here. And the Ukrainians, unofficially, informally, are taking credit for it. And, that's hardly surprising. But that seems to me the most likely and plausible explanation. It's the one I'm going to run with for the moment.
Okay. A PR win is what the Ukrainians...
A PR win.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I was leaning towards sabotage, but now I think you're right. I do remember some instances in Syria where stuff like this did happen. Mm. So, okay. Yeah. You're changing my views there.
Yeah, could have been...
HIMARS, you're ruling.
No, I think so. Okay. I think we can definitely rule out missile strikes.
Okay.
I mean, I think that apparently the damage is not consistent with that. Now, I have to say, I want to stress again, it might have been sabotage. If it was sabotage, that would mean a very serious lapse of security, breakdown of security over what is a very important airbase. If that's indeed what happened, then the Russian authorities have an awful lot of work to do to tighten up security of their air bases. But I think, on balance, the most likely explanation is an accident, and Ukraine has seized on it. They've not officially said they were responsible. In fact, officially, they're denying that they were responsible. But informally, they're seizing on that, And of course, if you read the Western media today, well, they're full of that. They just take it for granted that it was a Ukrainian attack.
Right. Okay. So I think the main question, which I kind of know the answer to, but I would prefer an explanation from you with regards to this question, is does this affect the operation, the fighting on the ground? Does this affect it in any way? Does this affect how the Russians move forward with regards to Ukraine? Does this affect how the Ukraine military defends the Russian advances? In other words, does this make any difference as to what is going on the ground? And then can you give us a recap as to where we stand today with regards to what's going on the ground?
Right, I think very shortly it makes absolutely no difference to what's going on the ground at all. Now, some people say the Russians lost 3 planes, others say they lost 8. The Russian Air Force has hundreds of planes. It seems that, you know, there was a Ukrainian claim that 60 pilots were wounded. That is not true at all, apparently. So this isn't going to make any difference at all to the actual operations. And in fact, over the last couple of hours, we've been hearing that the Russians have been making significant advances in Donbass. And always Donbass is the critical area of the battle. They've now apparently cleared the industrial area around Solidar. They're coming ever closer to Bakhmut from the southern side of Bakhmut. Bakhmut is this pivotal town of about 70,000 people before the war, which is the linchpin of the Ukrainian defense lines in Donbass. And I saw a report, which obviously I can't confirm, that a Russian force, the so-called Wagner Group, which is this mercenary outfit, has now penetrated deep into Bakhmut to an area called the Ponds, which is apparently close to the center of the city. So we can see that the Russian offensive in Donbass continues, and everywhere else, Ukraine is making no progress at all. So that, it seems to me, what the position is.
And they are, I think they started digging up over there in the square, so you may hear a little bit of construction just happen right. Every time I film, Alexander, every time I film, there's always some noise that that comes about. But anyway, Murphy's Law, I guess. The final question is, what situation is the Zelensky regime in? We've been getting hints at some sort of collapse on an economic level, perhaps on a structural administrative level, and now you have the military situation as well. How are you seeing things for Zelensky? Because we've got more money from Biden came in, another billion. You had Joseph Borrell came out with a statement today, and he actually said that the EU is at war. You know what she said? We're at war. So, I mean, what, you know, every time you see the collapse kind of coming, it seems like the collective West, the US and the EU, they come back with more statements saying, no collapse, more money, we're at war, we got to keep going, just keep going a little bit more. That was Borrell's statement, pretty much. We got to keep going a little bit more. What do you make of all of this?
I mean, if that reminds you a bit of South Vietnam and of Afghanistan, then it should, because that's exactly what we're seeing now. We see a regime which is on life support. So it's basically falling, but it's just been kept going by these constant infusions of Western aid. And the reports we're starting to get now is that some West European politicians, this is in the Wall Street Journal, are now beginning to get really worried about this. They're saying that this is an indefinite commitment. It's not leading to any good outcome. The Zelensky regime's looking increasingly brittle, and we're suffering severe economic hardship in Europe. And that we have to find some means to de-escalate. And when people like Borrell come along and talk about the EU being at war, that suggests to me that privately he's coming under pressure and that he's trying to answer those people who are saying to him in private, these West European politicians, there's some hints that they're French, by the way, that they're coming forward and saying to him, you know, this has got to stop, we're going too far, this has gone on too long, this isn't working. And so he is responding by escalating rhetorically. So I think that's probably what we're going to see. So it's a fragile regime, but it's been kept together, it's been glued together by these constant infusions of Western aid. And of course, the other result is that, of course, you can't negotiate because it's now dependent entirely on American support to survive at all. The US is still rejecting the option of negotiations. It can't attack. Looks like the Kherson offensive that we were hearing so much about has either been called off or postponed. And, of course, it's losing ground. And the longer this goes on, the more ground Ukraine will lose, the more Ukrainians will be killed, the less of Ukraine there will be when this war is ended. So this life support is keeping it together until eventually the collapse comes, as happened in South Vietnam in the 70s, as happened in Afghanistan last year.
We will end it there. TheDuran.locals.com, 10% off Duran merch. Use the code GOODDAY. Take care.